Agenda item number seven, Dennis Parker lease application for 100 acres, the mouth of Skiffs Creek.
Okay, so the next four items on the agenda have a common theme. The first one's a little bit more complicated than the next three afterwards, but the common theme is these all are areas in areas that are currently closed for the direct market harvest of shellfish by the health department, so you'd have to relay out of these areas in order to harvest. So with that said, we'll start with Mr. Parker. Dennis Parker is requesting authorization to lease approximately 100 acres at the mouth of Skiffs Creek at its confluence with the James River in both the city of Newport News and James City County. The line comes down Skiffs Creek between the two jurisdictions. A portion of this application area is within an area that's currently closed for the direct market harvest of shellfish. It also overlaps an existing Army Corps of Engineers navigation channel, which goes into a facility at the military base and a turning basin at Fort Eustis. And it is also partially within a restricted navigation area of the James River. So the application is depicted on this aerial view with our other leases and oyster ground applications depicted, and the application is located here at the mouth of Skiffs Creek. This is the facility I was mentioning at Fort Eustis with the turning basin, and this is the channel depicted where we avoided the channel for these leases, and of course the application just went across the channel. We do not lease federal project channel areas that are maintained by the Army Corps of Engineers because they're congressionally authorized. And they do have to dredge some of this channel at times. This is a closer view with the restricted area highlighted in these diagonal lines. So you can, while you can't see through this, we don't have a way to make this opaque enough, translucent enough, but the line basically runs from here to here and goes through this application. So as you can see, the vast majority of the application is within the restricted area. And a small portion on either side of the channel is actually in clean waters that could be directly harvested for shellfish. We did submit the application to our normal public interest review, which includes the normal publication in a local newspaper once a week for 4 weeks and posting the notice in the area of the application. We did receive some email correspondence from the Army Corps of Engineers with concerns about the application overlapping the federal project channel at the mouth of the creek and the associated turning basin of Fort Eustis. We responded back to the Corps that it is our policy not to lease such federal project areas. Due to this policy, we would automatically just divide the application into two parcels, one on the north side of the channel and one on the south side. The southern side also falls within this depicted area on the map. It's shaded, which is a restricted area by federal regulations. There's a copy of that of the pertinent section within the evaluation, but it basically states that no vessels other than Department of Army vessels and no other persons other than persons embarked in such vessels shall remain in, enter the restricted area except as provided in paragraph B2, which is nothing in the regulations of this section shall prevent the harvesting and cultivation of oyster beds or the setting of fish traps within these restricted areas under regulations of the Department of Army, nor will the passage of fishing vessels to or from such traps be unreasonably interfered with or restricted. So the policy here, I believe, by the military is that you may need to check with the base before you could go in these areas, but as you could see in the previous map, we have leases within this area. That's the section of the regulation that I just read. But there are leases already in this area. We've leased this area before, and we've not had any conflicts with the military base. The other lease grounds that we have already leased in this area that are west of this application, we honored approximately 300-foot buffer off the shoreline just to also not cause any conflicts. The base does use some of this area for military exercises, including the water area for landing craft. So we've tried to stay offshore slightly with any application just to not cause a conflict. So in this drawing, this depicts that 300-foot buffer and then an area excluding the channel. And what would be left would be about 14 acres on the south side of the channel and about 33 acres on the north side of the channel. But if you remove the area in the condemned area and just the clean area, it would be about 10 acres on the north side of the channel and approximately 6 acres on the south side of the channel. As the commission may remember, that in March there was a policy, a regulation change to no longer accept applications for forest ground leases in these type of restricted waters by the health department. So as of March, we no longer take applications. At that meeting, it was noted that we had a number of pending applications in these types of areas that had not yet been surveyed or the application process had not been completed, and that we would evaluate those on a case-by-case basis. The rationale at that time for suspending applications, acceptance of applications, was based on several factors, which include allowing such areas to serve as a broodstock for shellfish recruitment, increased protection of public health, and the recognition that the relaying process requires considerable law enforcement resources to administer at the expense of other important marine police responsibilities. Additionally, with the lack of readily available shell stock and seed oysters, staff questions whether any reasonable business plan would include planting of shell or seed within such restricted waters. The applicant indicated on his use plan questionnaire, which everyone has to submit with their application, that the bottom would not be used for traditional shelling of the bottom or to cultivate existing shell resources. He did, however, answer affirmative to planting of spat or seed oysters on the bottom, and that there would be clam cultivation on the grounds. We do not believe, we think maybe that was a mistake, that he checked the clam box, but because we don't believe there would be any clam cultivation in this section of the James River, too far up the river, for those to be reasonable. The applicant does have a lease that is directly adjacent to this requested area. So Mr. Parker does have one of these adjacent leases adjacent to the area he's applied for, and I believe he does use that area. So in light of recent commission action concerning acceptance of new applications within such restricted waters and the rationale for that decision, staff has considerable reservations with leasing of such pending applications for the same reasons I just mentioned earlier that were used to adopt the amended regulation back in March. While we do typically survey areas before bringing them to commission, in light of recent commission action, we do intend to bring any of these types of applications to the commission for review before any survey is conducted. If the commission deems it's not in the public interest to lease the area or some portion of these areas, this will avoid the time and expense of surveying the area. Should the commission determine that one of these pending applications in restricted waters should be leased, we will do a survey as required by law, and it would be conducted pursuant to the statutory requirements. In such cases, it is possible that we would receive public objections following the survey, because that's part of the public interest review. If this occurs, we would have to bring and we can't resolve the protest, we would have to bring it back to the commission for further review. But we don't believe that would happen often in the pending applications that we currently have in these restricted waters. This application, in summary and recommendation, this application involves issuing of leasing within health department restricted waters, as well as a number of other issues due to its close proximity to the military base and navigational concerns associated with the base and a federal project channel. While the commission has leased these areas within the restricted area of the base, it would appear unwise to lease the same area with the additional classification of the waters by the health department that restrict the direct market harvest of shellfish, given the concerns recently noted by the commission concerning the practice of leasing in these areas. We can support leasing of the two areas along the westernmost part of the application on either side of the federal project channel that are within areas that are currently open for direct market shellfish harvest. Again, these areas to the south is approximately 6 acres, and to the north would be approximately 10 acres. While we understand the applicants applied for this area before the recent commission decision to no longer accept applications in restricted waters, we believe that the leasing of these areas is not in the interest of the commission pursuant to 28.2607 of the Code of Virginia. Therefore, we do recommend denying the areas that are within the deemed restricted for direct market harvest of shellfish, and do recommend continued processing of the remaining two areas of 6 and 10 acres, should the applicant wish to pursue these smaller areas. Subject to surveying of the areas and receiving no protest, we would administratively assign those two areas without any further commission action at this level. In the event of any irresolvable protest, should the commission deem these two areas are leasable, or any of this area is leasable, and we get a protest and we can't resolve it, we would bring it back to the commission for additional action. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. State. Mr. Ballard.
You said the applicant had an adjacent lease. Do you know which lease is the one he currently has?
Leave, it's the one to the south, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
So he does have a lease immediately adjacent. So there could be an argument made that he could relay. He has a lease really close, but if he leased this entire area, he'd have a clean area that he could relay to. This one's a little different than the next three, in that he's on the edge of the, and he has a lease right immediately adjacent.
Mr. Erskine.
And you mentioned in the presentation that there were some Army Corps comments that you received. I didn't see them in here. What were those comments pertaining
well,
to?
Well, actually, it was a voicemail I got, and I did email them. I'm sorry I didn't include the email back to them. But their concern was just that they saw this notice, which you can see on our website now, and saw that it went right across the federal project channel, which goes where it's vacant here, right up to this turning basin. And I wrote back and assured them that we would not lease, but it's our policy to not lease federal project channels. And the only additional request they had was that, that we make sure we inform them if we get similar applications. I think we'll get the same comment and we'll respond the same way that, we wouldn't lease in a federal project channel. But they did not object.
Okay.
The rest of the application.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
Thank you, Mr. Stagg. I see Mr. Skiles in the audience here from the Health Department. Would you come forward, please, sir? Let me swear you in today here. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name's Keith Skiles with the Department of Health.
Mr. Skiles, there's a number of lease applications here that the commission will be deciding today here. In restricted waters here. Would you explain why these waters are restricted for the direct harvest of shellfish?
Yeah, there are several different reasons depending on which area we're talking about. Some are closed because of our water quality monitoring program. So we sample it, it doesn't meet the standard, so they're closed. Others are closed because there's been an assessment of a point source, a sewage treatment plant outfall, and the areas may fall into the impact zone within those sewage treatment plant discharges. So those are the two that we're talking about in this stretch of the James River. Some potential for, if there were a change in classification, an area like this one wouldn't be eligible for being open year-round anyway because of the boating activity. So it has been closed. This particular one has been closed continuously since 1951.
What are the health ramifications from the Health Department's perspective?
These kinds of closures are established for sewage-borne pathogens, so any of a whole host of fecal-oral route pathogens. So norovirus is one of the bigger ones, but a number, salmonella, campylobacter. They're all bacteria that a sick person would shed in the feces, and if these areas that are our indicator that the standard is based on is from gut bacteria. So these areas are closed because of the indication that they're impacted by sewage. And so these sewage-borne pathogens are what the concern would be.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
Can you talk a little bit about how you determine the area? And specifically, I'm wondering, it looks like the lease is kind of real close to the line, and I'm curious how accurate that line is and how you determine where it might be.
When we do an assessment for water quality, there are a number of stations that we monitor, and we usually look at, you see a progression for water quality, and it in an area like this where you have go to the headwaters, it's usually worse, and it tends to get better towards the mouth. And that area between where it's good and bad or meets the standard and doesn't meet the standard, from that point we look for enforceable landmarks. So in this case, we would have marked it because of, you know, what looks like, you know, the points that are recognizable by someone on the water.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Skiles. Is the applicant present? You're the applicant, ma'am?
No, I have a question.
Let me get to the applicant. Is the applicant present? Mr. Parker? Is there anybody who wishes to testify in favor of this project? Is there somebody who wishes to testify against this project?
Raise your hand in favor.
You wish to testify in favor of this project?
Yes, sir.
Yes, please come forward.
I'd like to ask the health department gentleman a question first.
Please come forward and give your testimony, please.
My name's Donald Melzer.
Terrific. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, sir, I do.
Please. State your name for the record again.
My name is Donna Melzer.
Terrific. Please give your comments.
My question is to the health department gentleman, is this area condemned or is this area nearly polluted, which is a difference? That's a large difference for usability of this area. Is it a condemned area, which is not usable whatsoever, or is it a polluted area by which it can be transplanted and wait 30 days and be tested again by the health department and be a usable resource for the Commonwealth?
It's a good question here. Mr. Skiles, can you help us out with this?
I think I understand the question correctly. These would be what we'd call restricted, so you could relay out of that area. Yeah.
Just to clarify your question, we don't accept applications in areas that are condemned for. In other words, you can't harvest for any reason if they're condemned. So we don't accept applications in those areas, and we haven't for years. But we have traditionally taken applications in areas that are considered restricted, which means you could relay. And there's two types of restricted. There's this type, and then there's a conditional restricted area. And they're typically closed certain times of the year. Lots of times around marinas, they close during the summer because of the additional boating activity in the warm water. And in the winter, they open. We do still accept applications in those areas under the current regulation in the areas that are open sometime during the year. But there is that are, like this one has been closed for, you know, decades. The new policy is that we won't accept new ones. And we're bringing you the existing ones in these areas to see whether it's in the public interest to lease these.
When you say existing one, you mean the pending applications?
Pending applications that we accepted before.
You're not bringing the already assigned leases?
No.
Right.
I mean, they're all grandfathered in, and they can still relay off of existing leases that are in restricted areas. They have to go through the relay process, which is a pretty robust permit from our agency and approval through the health department.
Okay. You have more comments, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward.
Based upon the Marine Resource Commission 28-2-106, Virginia Marine Police, Law Enforcement Responsibilities, Qualifications, and Oath. Under number 3, invoicing health laws pertaining to the harvesting of seafood from condemned areas. This is a natural resource. If we close off every natural resource that is polluted, we will lose a large percentage of our natural resource, which will make an unsubstantial loss in our seafood industry. My concern is, I do understand why Mr. Parker has, the reason I decided to talk to him, for him, he's not here. This area, he knows that the city farm is adjacent to it. He knows that the city farm is going to be closed and that that pollutant, which is the runoff from the city farm, is going to stop. So his lease is for 10 years. There's a good chance that these oysters will be able to be cleaned up and this resource renewed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Erskine.
This is not near the city farm. There is one coming up that is near the city farm at the mouth of Warwick River. This is Skiff's Creek.
Correct.
Which is adjacent to the military base.
Right. Mr. Erskine.
I had a question for Mr. Stagg, actually. So Mr. Parker currently leases one of the areas to the north or the south. Do you happen to know what size that area is, how many acres?
It's pretty large. All the leases up here are fairly large. They're in the 50 to 100 acre range. All the ones you can see on this, the edges of on this sheet are fairly large.
And as a follow-up question, does he indicate through reporting that there's been, you know, harvest out of those areas or these areas?
I don't have that information. I believe he does actively work some of these areas, but I don't know what his harvest information is.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Stagg, I had a question here. The two sections that staff recommends for approval, the 10 acres and the 6 acres, just making sure, they're substantially wide enough to be able to dredge, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Just wanted that on the record.
And since he has one of the adjacent leases of these, he could dredge right across the line.
Any other questions? Ms. Erskine.
With regards to the 10 acres and the 6 acres, have you brought that up to Mr. Parker, and was he agreeable to that, or was he interested in that? I mean, he's not here to testify today, but... Yeah.
He was aware that we were bringing this to the commission with concerns about the application area, and I believe he had some conversations with our surveyor, who is on vacation this week. I'm kind of surprised he's not here, but he indicated to me that the last time I spoke to him, that he was going to come and make his case on why he wanted at least the entire area, and would do relaying. But.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the commission? I'll throw it out to the audience again. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to testify or testify further on this matter? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Cedrin.
These areas give me some concern because it's a substantial risk to the public, the enforceability of the regulations as well. You also have to be concerned, you're going to have military in this area too, and then you add the Marine Police force trying to enforce the laws here. I think it's too much of a effect on the public. The health thing is what really gives me concern. And the way I see it, the application, I don't think we could bifurcate the application. I hear the 6 and 10 acres, but he hasn't asked for that. He asked for the whole thing. And so I think that if later he is interested with that, he can submit another application just for the 6 and 10. But as it sits now, he's asked for the whole piece, and it would be my position that we should turn it down.
Well, as staff, as I understand it here, has basically tried to split the baby on this and separate out those areas that are clean and aren't necessarily a risk to human health. So I don't think we necessarily have to turn it down in its entirety.
Yeah, but the applicant hadn't asked for those.
It's true, he hasn't. Mr. Ballard.
Mr. Stagg, is it fairly common for Marine Resources to work with applicants to try and survey a piece that would work for them and sort of adjust it throughout the application process?
Absolutely. Okay. We try to be proactive, although you're going to see a lot of cases in the next few months. It may indicate we don't think we are being proactive, but we try to survey them in a way that will not cause a controversy, including polluted areas, but including close proximity to shorelines. And once we get complaints, we will try to work with the applicant and the protestant to resolve those.
So this process of splitting the 10 acres and the 6 acres, that would be fairly standard for you to work with the applicant?
Yes.
Even though the application's already been submitted one way?
Yes.
Okay.
Quite often we have to split applications because of piers or channels. And what we would do here, should you approve moving forward, is we would survey these two areas, and Mr. Parker would be responsible for the survey fee, which you're always responsible for, which is $675. And then we charge an additional $100 for the second plat. So we do the survey all at one time, both pieces, and so it would cost him an extra $100. When we have to split an application that seems contiguous when we accepted it, and we have to split it for some reason, we charge an additional plat fee for each additional parcel beyond the first one. So that's how this would work if we move forward on this bisected area. And we would not lease this channel either way. So with the, if you want to grant the entire lease area he applied for minus the channel, it's still going to be two pieces.
Any other questions from the commission? I'm sorry, ma'am, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission. Mr. Erskine.
Well, I share some of the concerns of Mr. Zedron as well with this application. I think it is a compromise to have that 10 acres and 6 acres. I would make clear that some of these areas have broodstock in them, like I think staff mentioned, and some of the production that Mr. Parker might see on his existing lease may in fact come from this area that's been closed to shellfish or restricted in this case. So I think we need to take into consideration that there is a compromise on the table, but I do share the concerns that this, especially the public health risk in something like this, is really concerning. So.
I would echo Mr. Erskine and Mr. Zedron's comments here. The potential human health ramifications to this are very, very concerning to me here. I think we need to be especially careful here with increasing relaying of oysters from condemned waters here. This needs to be very closely supervised. And in fact, the manpower issues with the Marine Police are coming at a head here at this point. I'm reluctant to expand the leasing of water bottoms here if it's going to mean an expansion of relaying and the supervision by the Marine Police of that activity. Any other comments? Well, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Ballard.
I would comment that I think Ms. Stagg did an excellent job sorting through all this, a lot of moving pieces in this application, and it was put pretty clearly before us. And I move to accept the staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Ballard to accept staff recommendation. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously.